So it's with, you know, with gratitude and excitement that I welcome Susan Russell to begin our Vagina Dialogues.
I am so glad to finally be here. I have been in anticipation of all, can we all come around the table? This would be awesome. So that everybody is a part of everything, which is exactly what art is supposed to do. Bring us all, oh, come forward, my brother, come forward. Which is actually what it's supposed to do, is to bring us together under one kind of roof of reception. And when I was asked to be a part of this extraordinary gathering, I really had to grapple with the fact that I'm not coming to you as an art historian or as a typical feminist or as someone who is well-versed in the experience of a woman of color. I'm coming to you as a person who has spent the majority of her life performing, being an actor. And that kind of relationship with, see, notice how I pose, that kind of relationship with art is something that has given me a view of the world. Now, being a woman, absolutely. Being a part of the LGBTQA community, absolutely. Being someone who espouses a kind of relationship with art, absolutely. Being a community activist and a cultural attaché to the freaking planet, absolutely. Which makes me a missionary. A missionary of a kind of devotion to how we can converse through art. One of the privileges that I have in an upcoming year is that I'm the Penn State Laureate for the 2014 and 15 year. Thank you. And what that comes with, and I was actually nominated by my friend Joyce Robinson, who actually looked at me and said, do you have the stuff for this? Are you prepared for this? Can you do this? And I went, do I have the stuff? I have the right stuff. I'm making up our conversation, aren't I? But what she but what she said, and there's the wonderful Wanda Knight. And first off, these conversations, I am so extraordinarily blessed to be considered a peer of these illuminaries that sit around this table and these illuminaries in this room. Because to consider yourself a peer, a colleague in the world of art, is to enter that in your graduating year, to decide that, what's your name again?
Liz.
Liz. To decide that the greatest art of Liz will be the art of Liz, and however that art makes itself present in the world, is merely the medium that you choose to bring it to us with. And it might be in the great Lizdom. You know, the Lizdom of the world, how Liz can artistically, oh, come in, be amongst us.
The chair here.
I feel like I want to back up now. Oh, come in. You know, what's great about this podcast is that as you're listening to this, we are actually in the moment. We are actually in the now of this happening, and you are actually in the future of it being listened to. Isn't that crazy? I mark my life by specific moments, and those moments have all and everything to do with art. You are very brave to be a man amongst the Vagina Dialogues, and we have another man to be amongst us. Honorary vaginas you are today. Yes. Come in, be amongst the vaginas. There's a kind of engagement that women have with the world that you can find useful in your walk in the world as a man. I think that the greatest art we have going for ourselves is the art of being human, the art of being Liz, and how we can stare at the art of Judy Chicago and actually incorporate that into who we are as people. I came early and I was wandering around incognito until Madam blew my cover over here. And I was wandering around because I'm a listener. In order to be an actor in our society, we have, come in, be amongst us. Yay, there's my friend Bobby Corner, be amongst us. In order to be an actor in society, I have to do some very simple things. I have to be what I call an active listener.
to society. I have to be very open to what you have to say right now, because if I don't know what is happening now, then I cannot create the art of Susan as I move forward into the future. Being a human being is not complicated. It's simple. And that does not mean it's easy. The simplicity to human engagement requires that I look at you in a very concerted energy of wanting to know you. And that's what all this is. My walk in the world is a balance between antiquity and the future. I'm somewhere along that continuum, because in the School of Theater, I teach ancient theater history, which places me in the world of Ishtar and Hildegard von Bingen and Heroes Vite and Eleanor of Aquitaine and all the goddesses, the primoral goddess that comes before us, and all along the continuum of women, but also of men. And my study as an artist is how we have created the world we live in, how we are busy right now creating, come in, be amongst us. Is there a seat over there? And yet again, you grapple with waiting for the now to recommence. You just grapple away. And I mark this, I have this constant conversation with time, because there was a moment in my life where I had to decide to be either Susan or Liz based on something that was on the wall. Spending 25 years as an actor, I was always in a state of proving myself, always in a state of taking snippets of me and placing them in front of people to be either rewarded or cast aside. And that's something we can all get, you know. You know, we walk in here and immediately we're going, did I wear the appropriate turtleneck? Am I Diane Keaton today or someone that's not going to go to a frat party? You know, someone said that the other day to me, I dare to wear a turtleneck to a frat party. And I actually had to go, what does that mean? What does that mean? And it means, as was told to me by this young woman, well, the function of a frat party is to go and show as much of your body as you possibly can. And I know, yes, I have my sister that goes, Yes, the times, not only they are a change, and they have changed. And when I ask you to be here with me now, that contains all of the now. Where are we now? This moment that I return to was that 20 years ago, when I was beginning my career, I was in New York, and I was in a room with probably 50 women that looked just like me. Really. I mean, we all looked the same. We were all, I'm sort of a classic brunette now. I turned 50 and went blonde because I wanted to feel what it was like to walk differently in the world. And for a woman, all you have to do is change your hair color. Really, all you have to do is change your hair color. And the world immediately goes, ah, redhead. Ah, blonde. Ah, brunette. Stay away. You know, we really have framed ourselves artistically with color. And as you stare at Judy Chicago's art pieces, the reception of these pieces in scales of gray is different than the reception of the pieces in color. Judy Chicago spent her whole life, and I'm not coming to you as an art historian, I'm coming to you as someone who receives the art in a specific way that is framed by my experience of the world. I stare at her through theater. I stare at her through the theatricality of color and of shape and of design and of dare and of risk and of return and of confrontation and collaboration. She is nothing if not theater. She is theater of the eye. But that theater of the eye exists in her past and all of her frames of reference. She comes to you in this theatricality and asks you in the now to dive down and tell me your name. Anya. She asks Anya to dive down into the Anya-ness of your past. Stand in the present of your reception and create your future conversations about yourself. As the laureate, I will go out and I will say, this is not the value of the arts and humanities in our society, but the worth. And as an artist, I grapple with that with my students all the time. Oh, yes, you have value. I was in New York City during 9/11, employed on Broadway in Phantom of the Opera. The day after the towers come down, the mayor of New York City goes to all the unions and says, please, please reopen Broadway, because so as the lights of Broadway remain dark, so will New York City look dark to the world. You must sing us back to life. Oh yes, that is great value. But the worth of it is something that has to be balanced with capital, which has to be balanced with risk and return. Can my voice, can my body as a woman, can my body as an actor be given a value through capital? We grapple with that all the time with art. What is the worth of art? Is that worth $500, $5 million? And from that, we will establish its value. My work as the laureate will be to stare openly into the face, to the chasm of capitalism, to the chasm of education, to the chasm of politics, of race, gender, sexuality, and say, this is the worth of the arts and the humanities, because Anya creates herself based on a kind of reception of either probabilities or possibilities. And either we as a culture are staring at art, staring at the people that the art represents in their highest possible potential, or we are driving you towards that probable where we can stabilize your risk so we might have the same return. I am your elder here. These are our elder mothers here. We are generations of women at the table in front of you saying that this is about a time in our country, about a moment where women stepped forward. This symbolizes to me in the world of theater, which you will all, listen, I teach the history of musical theater. Do I know who you are? Oh, yes. We are a musical culture. We love music, whether it's in musical theater or whether it's just the music in this device or the music in your iPhones. We are a musical culture. So in my world of musical theater, this gallery of Judy Chicago spans the moment when Maria in The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Gotcha? Is anyone missing from the conversation? Maria in The Sound of Music turns into Sally Bowles in Cabaret. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Turns into Ava Perone in Evita. Yes, oh yes. Turns into Maureen in Rent. Oh yeah, I'm seeing the heads go, oh yeah, yeah, Radical Maureen, turns into the mother in Next to Normal. That's a musical actually about depression. Turns into whatever the next musical is on down the line. This to me is a story of music. This to me is a story of us. This to me is a story of women in transformation. And it is integral that men are here. I brought my 505, my master's, my MFA actors in here yesterday, and they were privileged to have an hour tour from the divine Dana Carlisle Kletchka about what the meaning of all of these things were. And she said she had never sort of been hampered by an hour lecture before. I actually told her a half an hour lecture before. But she said the wonder of having to take time and all of her great knowledge and condense it into the knowable in a half an hour, that was so freeing. It was freeing for her. Because I asked her what I do, what I ask, with engineers. These are the people I work with through theater. I work with engineers. I work with astronauts. I work with, oh my gosh, seismic geologists. I work with politicians. I work with people in the law department. And now I'm going to start working with people in the medical field through art.
and all I do is teach them through art to communicate. This is about communication. It's merely visual. Musical theater is about communication. It is merely dance, theater, lights, action, music. It's overwhelming. Plays are communication. It's just text-based. But when I am in front of engineers and I have been asked to talk to them about communication, here's the moment where it comes down to art. I'm with a chemical engineer, my dear friend Daryl Veligal. I'm doing a MOOC. It was my job to take engineers and to take all of their vast knowledge to simplify, clarify, focus on key moments they want to relate to 150,000 people in 158 nations across the planet. So I do this exercise with Daryl. I say, Daryl, my darling. I didn't call him my darling. Daryl, what do you do? He said, I just want to know. He said all these words that I could not understand the words he said. I said, okay, my brother, I have to ask you again, what do you do? Because I have a PhD, which makes me pretty hard to dismiss, but believe me, I'm dismissed every moment I go outside into the real world. So this act of asking him to bring his language into something I could receive is what art does, what theater does, what music does, what Judy Chicago does. I said, you got to make it simple for me. And he went, okay. I said, I'm with you. He said, okay, I got that. He said, atoms. I said, don't know what they are, but I've heard the word. And he said, electrons. And I said, I'm still with you. I'm still with you. He said, neutrons? And I said, I got it. And he said, they're in stuff. And he actually did this. And he had no idea how I'd been waiting for him to stop going like that and to go like that. You can't see me moving because we're here now and you're a podcast. And then he said, I do the stuff. And I went, I hear you. I don't know what that stuff is, but thank God someone's doing it. So he does the stuff. This dialogue that Judy Chicago has created for us is the stuff of us. And it is our job as people to take this and translate it through this, to maybe cease to filter it through this, so that we can experience this. That's all she wants. She really just wants you to stop, be still, and receive. And in this world of technology, that is probably the single last thing we do, is to stop, be still, and receive. Isn't that simple, though? And it's not easy. Because to leave the University Park, to come in here and just stop. I just followed a dad and a son around the gallery. And it's wonderful to be amongst the living. It is so wonderful. My mother took me to, I think, Artemisia had a huge showing at, where was it, at MoMA 3 years ago, or was it the Met? I can't quite remember. My mother, my fabulous mother, flew from North Carolina, and she's in her 80s, and she was determined to go through the Artemisia Gallery and see everything. The moment, of course, was very human because we had been at the Met. I guess it was at the Met. It wouldn't be a moment. Yeah, and we had been there for 2 hours because Mama moves slow.
And we had seen everything. And she'd go, oh. Because she was in this state of reception. I had to go to the bathroom. So here is this moment of reception and need, reception and need, reception and need. And I finally had to reduce it to the human because she was in a state of the sublime. I really have to tell you. And the state of the sublime is what we have access to. I was not there because I had a human need. I reached the sublime again, believe me, I reached the sublime. But what I have to grapple with all the time is that I have been charged by the great mothers to help people move into the sublime. And then I have been placed in a female form that is subject to a kind of dialogue with the world that resists the sublime. If I say that to you, and that's a big theoretical construct, what am I talking about? What am I talking about? What am I talking about? Tell me. This is a dialogue. Tell me. What am I talking about? Because you have to, yes?
So are you saying the dialogue is resisting sublime, or the world is resisting sublime? In that sense, which was resisting is sublime? Is
both. What state? See, this is a beautiful.
Yes, but you didn't mean
sure. What resists Judy Chicago right now? What's resistant to her? Just name things.
Sexism.
The nowness of sexism in our society. What else is resistant to her?
Patriarchy.
Patriarchy. Sure. What else? What else resists?
The art world.
Postmodernism. Yeah, so the art world, wow. What else resists her?
Older people.
Older people resist her. I actually, yes?
I'm your mother's age.
Yeah. So you resist her. Yeah, fabulous. Wait, this is a beautiful moment. Why would, what do you find that is something to press against? What do you press against with Judy?
What do I press against?
Yeah. What's that rock you beat your head against?
It's too obvious. We've been there. We've done this. We know this stuff. It doesn't have to hit me in the face.
Okay. So the images itself. Yeah. So the images, the imagery is something that you resist. I think that's pretty clear. Where are we now as young women? You just heard one of your elders say, we've been here before. Have you been here ever? You have. How have you been here?
The rock that's against your head is every day, like what you're saying about.
Wow. Does that add to your
perspective? Say it again. What is it?
The rock that's beating against your head, those clear images, those are the media that's every day.
Yeah. Tell me your name.
Helen
is saying she's still here. That you may have seen it before, but she's still here.
Right.
And then the conversation between the two of you happens. How? What do you know that Helen doesn't know? What do you know?
I don't know. I can't put that in words. A lot.
Watch me work now. No, you're such the perfect person for this. You are the perfect person.
I keep things.
Okay. And you can give me, if there is one thing you know that has brought you a peace about being a woman, what is that knowledge?
What's the one thing that's important?
What is A?
Just be who you are and stand up for it.
Wow. That's a dialogue.
And it took me a long time to learn it.
You know, we would snap it out where I come from. Be yourself. Know who you are and stand up for that. I love that. What is one thing you know as another generational mother? What is it something you know for Helen that has brought you peace with being a woman?
I'm not a mother, but life experiences.
What?
Just we've been there. We've traveled it. It's the journey.
What was something that you remember that has transformed you into a powerful woman? One experience you had.
One experience. A pilgrimage in Poland. 9 days of walking. Is that what you mean?
Oh, yes.
From Warsaw to Częstochowa.
What did you learn?
That I couldn't heal myself, but I did change completely.
Did you all hear that? I couldn't heal myself, but I did change completely. Wow. First off, you're going to be okay. Sick. Now look at these two. They're going, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just said, let's not get into that.
Oh, no. But this kind of thought process for young women, my work also is working with women in leadership situations saying, what do we know? What do I know at 56? How old are you, Helen? 22. What do I know at 56 that I can tell you at 22 that might help your journey forward? What can I say to you? Do you want to say something to me? Because you can help me forward too.
There's so many things I would like to learn.
What are
they? How do you survive? How do you get started? How do you get your feet on the ground?
Wow. How do you survive? Let me just, somebody call out some things to me. How do you survive based on your experience? How do you survive?
It's like step by step. You can't, I mean, you can look at it now and say, I want this, but it's just little bitty steps. And just be who you are. I like she said, you've got to just stand up for yourself. You're wonderful.
So we've got step by step, stand up yourself, be who you are. Give me
keep
one key.
Learning.
Keep learning. Shout things out, please.
Trust yourself.
Trust.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Because at 22, you don't know who you are really, and I think that's the scary thing. Try to be you by the door. And be yourself. I'm not sure what that is. And that's, I think, a frustration there that you start to feel combative as you get older.
Survival. Wanda.
I think about being a mother, but I think about mother, I'm other. So when we speak of women, all women are not the same. So I always have to clarify that because initially, as I said before, black comes before woman, black woman. And in thinking in that context, I embody difference, otherness, and I try to move beyond surviving. We've always had to survive as women, but as black women, even maybe, it's not one's oppression is greater or less. That's not my objective in saying what I'm saying. But it is about thriving. That's a different level. I'm reaching for the stars. Okay, so I'm not shooting to survive. I want to thrive. And if I miss that thriving level, then I know I'm going to survive.
Maya Angelou, right? You were the first surviving.
So I'm looking for
thriving. Is elegant, yeah.
Helen, I have a method for you. I'm so excited. I have a method for you. I did a TED Talk 2 weeks ago that I'm trying to wrap my brains around how we are going to make it. Oh, we're going to make it. But how we're going to make it. How we're going towards the making it. What do you know?
I know academic facts.
I know academic facts. What do people know? Tell me things you know. Just start shouting. Oh, be irreverent. Shout, please.
How to love.
How to love.
How to grow plants.
How to grow plants. What do you know? Oh, I'll stand up and come and make you talk. What do you know about the world? How to take care of babies. Good Lord. What do you know?
Statistics.
What do you know? How to cook. What do you know? How to adapt. What do you know?
How to learn.
What do you know?
Peace.
What do you know?
God, I don't know. Right?
Yes, you know. No. If you knew, what would you know? What do you know?
Oh, I really don't know what to say.
Yes, you do. One word. What do you know?
What to know.
Pick one.
Just to live.
To live. What do you know, Anya?
I know my experiences.
Your experiences. What do you know?
Survival.
Survival.
What do you know?
How to be.
How to be. What do you know, Liz?
How to work.
What?
Empathy.
Empathy.
You left out an important word. What? Adapt.
We know how to adapt. What do you know? Now watch how fast we're going to start moving. What?
How to write.
How to write. What do you know?
How to be angry.
Oh, how to be angry. What do you know?
Books.
Books. What do you know?
Life is hard.
What do you know?
Emotional intelligence.
What do you know?
How to take care of animals.
What do you know?
How
to laugh.
What
do you know?
Cooking.
What do you know?
Don't love things.
How do you know? Spanish. What's Spanish? What do you know?
How to be a letter by drawing.
How to draw? Oh my gosh, what do you know?
How to fight.
Now, how the fuck? With all the knowing in this room, now here comes the crazy one. Now we're going to start moving fast, okay? When I point to you, don't think, just react. What do you believe?
In everything.
Friends.
In health.
Nature.
Love.
Love. Dialogue.
Spirit.
Peace.
Friends.
And me.
I know, I gave you two. What do you believe?
Listening.
Family?
Love. Laughter.
God.
No.
In me.
Yeah, in me. What? Oh, me, I believe in me. I love the way you said that.
Friends.
Yes, George. Yes.
I believe in being here right now in this moment. You point.
What do you believe?
In my life.
What do you believe?
Honesty.
Here comes the crazy one. And this is all for you, BT Dubs. That's text talk. This is for Helen. What do you want? Oh, my good gray shoes. What do you want?
Justice.
What do you want?
Love.
What do you want?
Love.
What do you want?
Peace.
What do you want?
Happiness.
What do you want? Ah, what do you want? What do you want? And you can have it. There's never too little of it. You can have it, my sister. What do you want?
To stop
wanting. Oh, yes. All right. What do you want?
Longevity.
Wow. What do you want?
Understanding.
What do you want? I don't know.
A new scarf.
Love.
What do you want? What you want it all.
Acceptance is the word.
What, tell again?
Acceptance.
Acceptance. And you want it all. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want?
A home.
Oh, what do you want?
Sunshine.
Oh, what do you want? Happiness. Uh-huh.
Just to know the truth.
Oh, the truth. Good heavens.
Security.
Oh, what do you want? My friend, what do you want?
Contentment.
Oh, what do you want?
Abundance.
What do you want?
Children.
What do you want?
My
child. Oh, you're jealous. What do you want?
Yes.
What do you want? What do you want?
Mutual understanding.
Did anybody say anything that anybody really didn't want?
A cat.
A cat! So happy with that answer. So happy. What we... The fine line that art travels is this very moment of you finding yourself in it and then figuring out, I am, I believe, I know, I want, I dream. And either the art brings that to you or it doesn't, and that's fine. But the job of the art maker, the job of the
art receiver is basically the same. It's all about how you are communicating. To me, I had to be in this space by myself for about an hour before I could find me. Now, I got scared. These things scare me. They confront me. They make me uncomfortable. They make me all the things that art is supposed to. But I had to keep looking until I could find me. And then I rounded this corner, and there I was. Everything to me begins with a story. And when I saw that, I went, I'm home. And then I could remember me in the journey of Judy Chicago. I was born in 1957. My decades of experience are in this room. When I found that, I went, oh, the story. What's the story of all these vaginas? What's the story of the woman in me? What is the story of all of us in this room? Well, we've done the impossible at this moment. We've done the impossible because we're sitting in a room together, and we're in it together. I listened on the way over to NPR, and the most astonishing thing happened because the NPR announcer said, in order to move forward, the people of the Ukraine are going to have to talk about the things they have not talked about. And I went, bam! What if this conversation allows people to talk about things they haven't talked about? And that's here and here with you. What if our job as people is to take this conversation and take it home or into our classrooms or into our families, into our churches, our synagogues, our mosques, our meditations, and to actually be willing to talk about the things we have not talked about? When Joyce gave me the assignment of this piece and said it is the vagina dialogues, I had to really get peaceful with that because I'm a control freak. Can you tell? And I said, well, I want to entitle my own talk. But that was the 13-year-old in me. And then I went, wow. If the monologue can be turned into a dialogue, we can really make making changes make sense. Because we need to make some changes as a culture. We need to make some changes as people. We need to make some changes as citizens. We need to make some changes as women. We need to make some changes. And if we start talking about it as a group, with the Liz's and the Helen's, and the two of you, and the me, and the you, and you, and you, then we might be at a threshold. I've never been more hopeful, and I'm old.
Oh.
I have never been more hopeful.
Oh, to be 57.
Oh, to be 57. Oh, not to be 22. I don't think that I'm going to go back. So that's what Judy Chicago has brought to me, is this kind of moment to speak like a master, because the masters have come before me. And if we don't all start speaking like masters, and that's not patriarchal sense, I mean a master of, an expert. Let me change it. Let me take the sexism out of it. Let me take expert. But if I say mistress, then we all become hookers and prostitutes. I'm not going to say that either. What is there a word? Is there a word? Sorry, that got me. A wise woman or a wise one. A wise one. Because I guarantee you, you have wisdom. You have wisdom. You have wisdom.
I work with middle school girls and boys and high school girls and boys, and I offer them a way to talk about the social issues that define their nowness through writing and through speaking. I teach kids to tell a story about themselves, about race, gender, sexuality, about childhood sexual assault and recovery, about violence. I teach them to isolate one story, to tell that story, and then I put about 40 of those stories on a stage all together in a theater piece called Body Language. And then we tell those stories, but then the work begins because the audience then talks to these kids. These kids become wise in the knowledge of themselves. And I always start my projects. I'm starting one on Monday at Delta High on teenage suicide and depression. And the first thing I say to the young people who are between 13 and 16, I say, you know something that I don't. You know something. And you believe something that I haven't heard. And you want something that you haven't told anybody. Let's start there. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to be simple. So that's my challenge to you. If she has put this in our faces, how can you take the challenge of telling a story about yourself home to your best friend? During this TED Talk, Spud Marshall, who runs the Cohabitation House, which is this fabulous home in State College, put up this statistic. There you are, my brother. I knew I'd get to you sooner or later. Put a statistic up that 10 years ago, every person had four people that they confided in. Every person had four people that they would talk to. And in the year 2014, the same survey says that people say they have zero. I know. What happened? Isn't that 10 years ago, we had four. This year, we have none.
Electronics.
Maybe. And if electronics are bleeding out our sense of communication, this is something we have to think about. The last thing I'm going to say is that I learn more from my students than any book can ever teach me. And one of my students from Haiti said in the fall, we were talking about Miley Cyrus, of course. We were talking about the wrecking ball of the wrecking ball. And I said, tell me what you think. And all she said, she had this great stillness. She was a chemical biologist herself. And I said, what do you think about Miley? She said, I just think Miley should be mindful. And I thought, wow, how mindful am I on a moment-to-moment basis? How full of mind or full of heart am I in personal encounters? How am I in my home? And how can I dedicate myself to being full of mind and heart? Because I hear my student going, she just needs to be mindful. This is a call of mindfulness for the men of the world, for the women of the world, for women of color, for white women, for women who are heterosexual and women who are homosexual, for men who are heterosexual, men are homosexual. It is a call of mindfulness for humanity. And it is a privilege to have her here and a privilege to talk to everyone. So I say, go ye forth. Be mindful, be loving. Continue to fight and argue. That was for you, my sister. Yeah. Continue and see how you can be mindful about how you are creating the art of yourself as a woman, as a man. We are in it together. And like Randy Jackson says on American Idol, let's be in it to win it. Thank you for your time.
You're going to be talking step by step. I meant to say something. Then we can go.